This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. It is Monday, it's a new week, it's a new day, we have lots to discuss, and so I am very happy to have with me in the studio a good friend of mine and a fellow Bravo event attendee. We're on the circuit together, my partner in crime, Gibson Johns. Hello, Gibson.
Hi, we're Bravo socialites. We're the Tins and Mortimers of the Bravo party circuit.
It's very like Roni season one vibes.
Very.
Where it's like, well, you know, we're at the galas, we're at the parties.
The Kodak event.
Where is the social register? It's right here.
It is.
How are you doing? How are you existing in this time of Bravo-ness?
I'm good. I feel like I was really overwhelmed like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now I'm like, we're starting to say goodbye to some of the shows kind of. And I'm like, okay with that. You know, I feel like it was like a game to try to catch up on everything. And now I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit more settled in it.
Right. I don't have to be like, wow, I'm 4 episodes behind on Winter House. Is that bad?
Right. Because it wasn't bad.
Because the show wasn't that good and now it's over. So we don't have to think about it anymore.
We're done with Girls Trip. Like we're getting into some of the reunions, some of the shows. Like I'm feeling a little bit more like, okay, this is manageable.
Yes. It's like, I'm so excited for the Salt Lake City reunion. But at the same time, like, I think it's
time.
Good. And I mean, I think they're going to be filming like next week at this rate. So
I'm so curious what they're going to do about that. I know. Like, it's like you either take like a, like more than a beat or you like rush back in again. Right.
I don't know. From like a looking at the calendar standpoint, feel like if they have a show that can go back into production very quickly, it's not in their best interest to wait. Cause it's like,
I completely agree.
Who knows when, like, say Atlanta might be filming again.
Atlanta, New York, yeah.
I know. I'm so surprised that the New York girls didn't start filming in the fall.
Really surprised. That seems like a missed opportunity. I think it's a probably Jenna Lyon-sized hole in the cast kind of situation. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, before we get into some more interesting things, I do just want to note that Vanderpump Rules is not an Emmy-winning show, unfortunately. It lost both its categories to Welcome to Wrexham, which, if you aren't aware, is the soccer, aka football show with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. Pour one out.
Raise your glasses high and then pour one out.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like that despondent about Vanderpump Rules not winning an Emmy, but I do think it's interesting just to like note the fact that this is the closest like a real like Bravo show has gotten to award recognition. It's not Top Chef, it's not Below Deck, like a like Housewives spinoff got Emmy nominations.
And we say all the time as like fans and fan accounts and things like that like give the editing an Emmy, but this is like an actual like moment where they could have gotten an Emmy. And like it's the because it really is an art. I truly think that very seriously. And like it was being recognized in a serious way. And that's even though they didn't come home with the statue, like I think that they should be happy to like even just get that recognition, because who knows like what sort of doors that opened for like the Salt Lake City finale or something like that.
I'm just glad they didn't lose to Selling Sunset. That would have felt like a slap in the face.
100%.
Like they didn't even sell the houses.
And like, yeah, totally.
Like we're not pretending that Emma's empanadas were better than
Is the cinematography on Selling Sunset sometimes breathtaking? Yes.
Yeah, actually one of the categories was storytelling. Like, outstanding, like picture editing. I'm like, maybe Selling Sunset.
Yeah, totally. The cinematography, you guys. But yeah, it's not as good of a show. So I haven't watched the Ryan Reynolds show, but
I watched the first few episodes, but they're long seasons. Mm. They've done 2 seasons so far, and the first was like 18 episodes long.
I'm 18?
Yeah.
Girl. Who has time for that?
Okay. Over the weekend, though, also we had some troubles taking place in the Real Housewives of Orange County universe. The Trace Amigas are no more. Vicky and Shannon are hitting the road together across America, And now Tamara is doing her own thing. She posted, at first she just posted a picture of herself and said Uno. And I was like, oh, that's badass.
Right.
She's like, one amiga. And then she goes,
we had the same reaction.
She goes, Dos, a picture of Teddy. And then she goes, Trace, a picture of Emily Simpson. And now they're doing a live show together. I'm like,
which is so random.
Like, I have come to a point where the Tamara and Teddy thing doesn't faze me.
We accept it.
I'm like, we get it.
Totally. Exactly.
People like it. They're popular.
It's not for me, but I'll tap in when I feel right, like I should.
Right, like, the two T's have stuck around. They've earned their spot. They're not like some, you know, Housewives podcast that they do for it's 6 weeks last. And then exactly. get sick of. What does Emily Simpson have to do with anything?
I would love to know. And maybe that's a clue for where things stand in, like, the group, you know, for next season, you know? Like, maybe Tamara and Emily have really hit it off since the reunion. I don't know. Like, I don't even remember. Like, were they really good friends on the... They weren't really good friends on this season. They got a little closer. Does it tell us something about, like, where Gina stands in it all? Like, why is Emily being roped into this?
Yeah, I feel like Tamara coming back on OC was in a little bit of a season of, like, exploring her bonds with right. the women in the cast.
Totally.
Obviously, she had some stuff to work on with Shannon that seemed to be going better and now obviously is going much worse. You know, she had stuff with Heather that was kind of a little bit bumpy. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like she came out of that season as, like, besties with Emily.
Definitely
so it does
not.
Seem like a little bit of a jump. But obviously, stuff has transpired since we last saw the Orange County cast.
Yeah, and Tamara's also really savvy. And she, I mean, I think Emily, generally speaking, kind of won a lot of fans this season. You know, like, she became... maybe not the fan favorite, but, like, fans, like, latched on to her in a way that they hadn't before. So I think Tamara's also probably recognizing that because she pays attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for the most part, everybody, with the exception of maybe Shannon, had a pretty good season on Orange County because it was sort of a rising tide
lifts
all boats situation. But, like, Emily and Gina are not, like, the new girls on OC anymore. Not everybody is going to love them, but, like, aligning yourself with somebody like Emily is actually a pretty decent bet at this point.
I totally agree.
They need to get filming.
There's so much going on, and I'm so curious, and I'm curious why they haven't started filming.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it the holidays?
There was so much going on. Like, when Taylor announced her departure, I sort of assumed, like, okay, the first group event's going to be, like, tomorrow.
I'm wondering if they hit a snag with, like, contracts or something. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it's, like, Alexis, we're bringing you on as a friend, and she's like, well, now I'm dating John fucking Danson.
Like, you're going to bump me up to an orange.
Exactly. I mean, that's just total speculation, but I'm like, what could... Because usually an announcement like Taylor's comes right before they jump
Like,
in.
Contracts have been in the mail.
And that was early December, right? Like, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute, so...
Yeah, interesting.
Please just let OC not go off the rails this season.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, the Trace Amigas, no more.
Yeah.
It's like cyclical. It's like clockwork, you know, like that's, and I don't think it's that calculated and like, okay, we got to like, but it's like, they know that it's probably going to loop back around in a year.
Yeah,
too.
It is interesting. So I feel like the vibe on social media, at least coming from Tamara, is a little more scorched earth than maybe it's been in the past where
I agree.
I think it was really notable that she tweeted a reference to January 6th not being a good day for Vicky because that was sort of the singular thing that Vicky was the most offended by that Teddy had said about her was where was she on January 6th? She brought this up at BravoCon. They did not squash their beef. It does feel like Tamara is kind of burning the bridge versus just like, we're not good right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. She hit her where it hurt.
Yeah.
And she knows it hurt.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if Vicky gave this ultimatum about not coming back to the show as anything but a full-time housewife, like, if Vicky's off the show forever, then there's never going to be a storyline incentive
in
for Tamara.
I mean, yeah, the only incentive for Tamara is, like, making money on a Trace Amigas tour. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. She is cutting off that kind of source of revenue.
I was going to say the only incentive is, like, human connection with someone she cares about, but that's naive.
Listen.
I don't think that factors into the equation for Tamara Judge too much.
I know. But then you wonder on the flip side what Shannon's thinking, right? Is it because of just the genuine human connection that you just brought up, or is it, like, Shannon's kind of going all in on trying to get Vicky a spot on the show? I don't know.
Yeah, and then now that they're on such bad terms, apparently, like, is Tamara going to be BFFs with Alexis this season? Mm-hmm. Is that what we're careening toward? And then Shannon's just going to be like in shambles at every event.
Right. And then maybe they need to give Shannon Vicky. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe Vicky was told there's no spot for you because the Trace Amigas were in a good spot. But now there's all this drama. So maybe there is a spot. I don't know. I'm talking in circles.
Okay, can we get Evolution on the phone? Where are the cameras?
Literally.
I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe. And you're making like that mental checklist of if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. What would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preference. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, so I feel like OC, it's safe to say there's a lot of interest. Like, momentum going mm-hmm. into filming for the season. Something with less momentum, I think it's safe to say, was Girls Trip. This season. The Roni Legacy trip to St. Bart's. It was 6 episodes. One episode less than each prior season of Girls Trip. I checked because I was like, that felt quick. I don't know what happened in the edit for this show, but it seemed to me like they cut a whole day out of the trip. And the ending of episode 6, which was the finale, felt very abrupt. There was no kind of like saying goodbye there to St. Bart's.
Yeah.
And for something that was framed as this kind of like one-off reunion of this iconic cast that you know everybody wants more of, it just kind of like, it went out with a whimper, not a bang.
I agree. And to me, it started strong. I watched those first 3 episodes and I was like, yes, like the girls are back. They're kind of up to their old tricks. You know, we're talking about On Pause and Kristen's kind of a nice revelation to come back. Kelly has not really changed much, but I agree. Like then with each subsequent week, it was sort of like, okay, you know, and it's not like I'm so glad we got the season. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree. The ending was a little bit lackluster and like there was I think the penultimate episode, like nothing really happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was just sort of like drama free.
Yeah. That was the episode where I think the big drama was Kristen's toenail.
Yeah. And they showed it way too much.
And then in the final episode, we got a long time of them doing this water exercise thing where
drone footage and everything.
I was like, that was like a fun thing to hear Sonia talking about how like hers is the only butthole that was clenched. But like it did feel like the last for the first four episodes, let's say, like, even if the drama was maybe going in circles a little bit or felt a little bit repetitive, there was stuff happening. And then the last couple episodes, it was like, oh, we kind of just ran out of
and
things.
And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it speaks to the fact that Bravo made the right decision when it came to New York and these group of women, this group of women. Would I watch a trip like this once a year? Yeah, probably for five or six episodes. And but it's clear that, like, you know, there aren't enough new dynamics at play with our OGs of New York that would fill out 14 or 15 episodes of a regular season.
Yeah, I think because like with a show like Orange County, there have been people that have stayed on the show for a really long time, but there's been enough new energy within the cast that even the people that have been there a long time sort of have to, you know, get with the program and switch things up a little bit. Whereas I think with Roni, like, it just felt like, you know, by season 13, you had gotten to this point where it was like, okay, we're watching the same movie over and over again. And this trip was kind of, it kind of was a reminder of that. I think sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. And 100%. It's like, okay, yeah, this, I'm glad we got to see them all. I think there is definitely potential for some of them to do other things or to be with other people, but it's like, we don't really need the Luann and Sonia and Ramona and Dorinda show again.
No, I know. It's sad to admit it, you know? It's like, it's, I almost feel bad admitting it, but like, that is kind of, to me, like, kind of the objective takeaway from the end of that season.
What do you think about Kristen's potential future on Bravo? She lives in LA now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are, you know, a couple different shows happening in that neck of the woods. Is she somebody that you would like to see in a more permanent capacity or maybe on a different girls trip?
That's an interesting question. I don't see her on Beverly Hills. I don't think that would ever work. OC, like, I guess, like, potentially, it's hard because I really liked her on this season, but she was kind of stuck with like rehashing old things from years ago when honestly she didn't make as good an impression back then as she did now.
Yeah.
But so I guess it does give me, you know, some sort of like hope that she could work on another show. I would like to see her with a different group of women. That's what it is, I think. But I don't know if I need her for 15 episodes. Maybe another girls' trip.
I think I'm sort of thinking of when Taylor Armstrong was on the Berkshire season of Girls' Trip, where it was somebody that we hadn't heard from or really thought much about in a long time and sort of, where are you now? And Taylor, I think, really thrived on that season. I think Kristen, under the circumstances on this season, kind of thrived as much as someone could 100%. In that role. You know, she weathered Kelly calling her a fan and a narrator and a... and an author. Right. I don't know. Like, she was throwing a lot of
literally
terms. But yeah, no, it kind of reminds me. A couple years ago, there were like some rumblings that from Ladies of London, Marissa Hermer, who lives in LA now, was like in the mix for Beverly Hills. And it was like, I mean, I guess
the hot dog queen. But
she's one of those people where it's like, it's not that she gives you nothing, but she's also not somebody that I'm like, oh, she would slay on Beverly Hills.
Right. She sort of would play probably a similar role to like an Eileen Davidson, but she's like less glamorous and she's
like
not
Crystal
an
a little bit, that kind of energy.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, I guess I could see it, but it's sort of, there's like a lack of, like, to me, Beverly Hills is just like sort of this group of like giants in terms of just like their presences. And I don't really get that from Kristen or Marissa, but like, I think on OC there is a place for a personality or like a presence like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like Meghan King energy.
Yeah, totally. And I do think Kristen handled herself really well, and she's pretty good at TV. She's pretty good at like the confessionals, and she stands up for herself, and she asks the questions at the dinner table. So she has it in her.
And I think that she was playing an important role of that like slightly outside person who knows enough about what's going on to kind of know the buttons to push and the questions to ask. And as much as Kelly was, you know, annoyed at Kristen playing that role, like, I think the show would be so boring.
She gave her something to play off of, Kelly and Kristen. And I think that actually one of the things the show is missing was like just an extra one of those. another one of the one or two season yeah, wonder people.
You or somebody said online that I thought was like a great idea was like if Aviva had shown up halfway through that trip.
That would have been fantastic.
Something like that yes. would have been
they needed like an exciting. X, they needed like another X factor in there.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, okay, I would watch another season if they did promise us like another returning face that's unexpected.
Yeah.
But I ultimately, like Kristen, you know, up in the dining area for her neon party alone for like an hour before they were all coming down. Like that's sort of indicative of sort of how I felt she kind of always operating on this show sometimes. Yeah. Just sort of like on an island, like with nothing to do.
Right. And especially being, she mentioned a few times, the only married woman in the group that it's like.
She liked to mention that.
Okay. So you're inviting 40 single guys to the house and I'm just like. Floating around.
And I'm the one who could like engage in like a regular social way, like, even though I am right, married.
Like, Sonia's wasted, Dorinda's like in the pool. And Kristen's like, okay, so I'm just making small talk with these like 28-year-old guys
right.
that live in right. St. Bart's.
Oh my God. It was fun to watch. It just dragged.
Seeing like this guy go up to Kelly and be like, oh yes, I was the waiter at the place. And she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of another show that is unfortunately, I think, dragging a little bit this season, Potomac came back this weekend from a double holiday break.
Yeah.
They were off two Sundays in a row. So it's been 3 weeks since the last episode of Potomac. And I think that for a season that already feels like it's struggling to get the wind in the sails, God, it felt. When I saw like a clip from last night's episode before it aired and it was like, still in Austin, they're doing blah, blah, blah. I'm like, still in Austin?
It's the fourth episode, but because of that extended break, it feels like it's been 2 months.
They've been there for 6 weeks.
And they aired against the Golden Globes. Like, it's not working for them this season, unfortunately. And I will say this episode, I actually enjoyed myself watching more than past episodes because it was more fun. Like, they were they made me laugh during the weird painting thing. Yeah. They made me laugh during the drag show. And that to me is what has been missing from Potomac, which is the humor. But like, it still feels like we're beating the same dead horse about, you know, everything basically.
Yeah. It's tough because I like seeing them have those moments of levity where everybody is just kind of on the same page of like, we're doing a fun activity, especially I think Karen is sort of the one person in the group that everybody can. Be happy about right now. Even I love Karen being like, Robin, I would love to get to know you better. It's like, babe, it's season 8.
It's been a decade.
But it does feel like they haven't this season been able to balance those rare moments of fun with light shade and fun drama and like interesting dynamics. It just feels like it's either going to be fun or it's going to be Giselle miserable. Being like, fuck Candace, fuck Wendy, no, never, we're never getting back together. And it's like, that, you gotta give us,
I know.
Gotta give us like an inch of something
and
to work with.
And it's so frustrating because to me, it's not just Giselle. It's like, it's like back and forth, like every which way. It's like, you know, Candace is kind of refusing to engage with Robin and Giselle, and Giselle vice versa. And then Wendy is in there too. And then Wendy with NECA. And it's like, there's all these like stalemate, basically relationships. Mm-hmm. And so again, we're left with Karen and also Ashley, who I think is still kind of willing to mix it up. Like we saw in this past episode where she refused to not get in Candace's car. Even though the car ride was silent, to me that spoke to Ashley's willingness to at least like try to make something work. Yeah. And so it's sort of like everyone else is not really playing the game in the way that they're supposed to be playing it.
Right. Ashley is doing the necessary thing of like, even if we're not going to make up right now or have some heart to heart or be able to joke with each other, I'm not going to be the one who's making it impossible 100%. For us to coexist.
Yeah. I know that she gets a lot of criticism online and some of it is justified, but I also think that gets lost in that like she is really good at her job in that way and she always has been, in my opinion. Like, yeah, there's like things that she avoids, kind of skates around talking about and things like that, but ultimately in terms of being a housewife and like in terms of the group dynamic, I think that she's still doing what some of her co-stars are not willing to do.
It's funny because this season of Potomac, I think most people would agree, is probably the weakest season they've had.
Yeah.
And so there's been more talk about, is this finally going to be the year when this foursome of OGs that's been so, you know, steadfast on this show, is it time to shake that up a little bit? And I think I've seen like every possible iteration of like, I think this is Ashley's last season, or like they've got to get rid of Giselle and Robin, or like the Grand Dame time to, it's like nobody can agree.
Me too.
People feel so strongly, but nobody feels strongly in the same direction of like what change is
totally
needed, which makes it really hard to predict. Like, obviously, I mean, this was only the 8th episode of their season, so
we're like halfway through,
we have a while to go, so mm-hmm. it's not like people are going to be, you know, getting fired tomorrow, but it is interesting to even think about like how would they make a change.
I know, and it's one of those, I think you bring that, like, you're right, every kind of solution, quote unquote, has been brought up, and to me it speaks to the fact there is no clear solution. I feel like a lot of the times in these situations where it's like, okay, they can just pluck out XYZ person and like that's the clear answer kind of objectively, but in this case it's like, you know, you can take out Robin and Wendy and then you clear up two spots, or and NECA probably, but like then it's like you still have Giselle and Candace who refuse mm-hmm. to engage with one another, but maybe coexisting is enough for them. I don't know. It's this weird thing. And, you know, I think I've always sort of lauded the show for having four OGs for so long. It's this record. It's like,
yeah.
I think they should be proud of it. It's really impressive. It speaks to the original casting of the show, all these things, and their willingness to mix it up over the years. But like, it makes me also think of like Salt Lake City, where we have the sort of core four again, and it's been four seasons for them. Just keeping four original people around for 8 seasons, is that almost like too long to keep them around? Because now they're kind of all operating under this, like, they have power, and they can be like, I'm not filming with that person. And, but if they're all saying that, you know what I mean? It's sort of like this, it's an interesting thing that has never happened before on Housewives.
Yeah. And I think Salt Lake obviously is the obvious comparison with the kind of core four that we have right now, and seeing them, you know, they've been on the show half as long mm-hmm. as Potomac. Seeing what happened in the finale of that show, it was this kind of rare moment where something outside the four of them mm-hmm. happened to make them all be on the same page in that situation. But then if you take Monica out of that equation, and then next season it goes back to, you know, Heather being mad that Lisa is not,
right,
you know, nice enough to her, and Whitney feeling like there's weirdness from her and Heather, it's like, okay, then we're right back to,
exactly,
to where we were.
Exactly.
And I'm, you know,
and that's why you can't really just take like Wendy and Candace out of the equation,
yeah,
because like, you know, I think especially Candace, like she's kind of really solidified herself as sort of part of the DNA of the show as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, if you take her out, I bet you those four OGs would be so down to just be like, all right, goodbye, Candace and Wendy. But like, that's not what's going to happen. And there's no way.
Yeah. It is strange because they haven't, aside from Monique leaving, mm-hmm. they really haven't lost a lot of cast members.
No,
I mean,
you're
like,
right.
Katie is on her own journey. Charisse is still
like
in the picture
floating
sometimes.
Around.
But like, mm-hmm. Potomac has never really had this vibe of like, oh, we bring in someone new. If they don't work, we get rid of them. It's like Candace, Wendy have both really.
And Mia now
in her third season. Mm-hmm. And it does feel, especially because their cast this season is so large, that it's like to make a change that felt like an actual shift in the direction of the show, you're probably looking at getting rid of like three people.
I know.
And
I
don't think it can just be Candace, NECA, and, you know, you can't kind of say like, oh, we'll just get rid of the three like newest ones.
But you also,
Wendy, Mia,
right,
NECA.
But like, you also can't really get rid of like Rob and Giselle and Ashley, because like, they mix it up. I think you can get rid of like one or two of them, maybe, but like, it's just hard to envision a Real Housewives of Potomac without at least two of the OGs. You know what I mean? It's a really wild thing to think about.
It's like,
it'd be a new show.
It's so strange that it's because we've never seen that show.
They've never done a big mix up. Yeah. They never have. And it's also like, it's a, you know, Real Housewives of Potomac is de facto Real Housewives of DC, you know, in terms of like where they cast from. So like, there's a wide net for them to have. That's all of Maryland, DC, and Virginia. There's a lot of women out there that could be on this show. So it makes me excited for what a season 9 could be, because it would be, I think, you know, we're inevitably going to get some sort of refresh, you know, it's half or whatever, but I'm excited for a fresh new Potomac. It's going to be kind of a different show than what we've been watching for the past 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we've taken it for granted a lot of the time, the consistency.
It's going to feel like the New York reboot, I think, in some ways. If it's, because we're just so used to watching the same people.
I'm stressed.
I know. I'm stressed about it too. Cause I really genuinely, there's things to like and dislike, I think, about all of them, mm-hmm. you know? It's hard to like get out of the group think of the online conversation around yeah. it, because that leans like very much in one direction. But I think that sometimes it gets lost that like, okay, would the show really work without Giselle and Robin and Ashley? And mm-hmm. it just like, you know, Karen, Candace, Wendy, and like whoever else. I don't know what that looks like.
Randomly, I feel like this season is giving me more appreciation for Mia than I've had in the past.
I totally agree.
Because she sort of is existing on a separate plane from the drama, from the feuds that feel really just kind of stuck in the mud.
Yes.
I feel like Mia is on her own journey that is low-key quite interesting.
I agree.
And I don't know exactly what's happening. She's posting with a ring. Like, like I don't know what's going on there. Even at their BravoCon panel, she went from saying that she was, like, single, basically, at the beginning, to then, like, referencing her man. And it's like,
she is an enigma.
Mia, baby, what's the status?
She's definitely an enigma. And like, I agree. She's like, she actually, I'm not giving her enough credit. She is mixing it up a good amount. But I just wish she wouldn't like follow Giselle, Robin, and Ashley out of the room every time. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that like she would stay at the table like once in a while to like show right. that she's still connected to the other women. She doesn't do that very often.
She doesn't really, it feels like she doesn't like exist on her own that much on the show. Like when obviously the stuff that's going on with her and Gordon is a personal storyline, and I'm interested in that.
How that plays out will sort of give her that moment.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like if we just like started an episode with like Mia waiting at a restaurant for somebody to meet her for lunch, it would kind of be like, oh, this is weird.
Right.
Whereas like if you look at say Salt Lake, just because we're talking about it, it's like, oh yeah, like any of those women I feel like are kind of like equal participants in the pie.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know what it really speaks to, whether it's like, because to me, like Mia like has some like star quality. Like she makes me laugh unintentionally and intentionally, which is an equality that I really like in a housewife. But I think maybe it's because sometimes, I think this season it's been a little different, but in the past you kind of felt like she wasn't being totally upfront and totally honest about what was going on. So that I think is sometimes my blockage with her. But I hope that I think with this Gordon stuff, she has an opportunity to really be fully honest and like be really upfront about everything that's going on in her life.
Right. Like she could have sort of like a phoenix rising from the ashes
1,000%. And she could totally win me over. And not that I'm against her. I haven't been won over yet.
Right. I think because those OGs are so strong, it's never felt like her show at all.
No.
And even like on Salt Lake this season, I feel like by the end of the season, it really felt like Monica and Angie, shocker of the century that I'm saying this about Angie, that like I was just as interested in seeing Angie's reaction to stuff as I was like Meredith and Lisa.
That's a good parallel, because it's sort of like in some ways Mia and Angie have both sort of operated under this like, this is how housewives are supposed to.
Right.
They've studied the playbook and
she bought the big sunglasses.
Exactly.
And she packed the Fendi, whatever.
And Mia brought what'd she bring to the last reunion? Like, was it poster board or something? She did something. And I'm like, sort of like, okay, she kind of has done the same handbook that Angie is playing by. But I think by the end, she has an opportunity to have an Angie moment where it's like, wait, we kind of like her. Wait, like she's kind of iconic.
I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
The Angie 180 that I feel like we've collectively done this season, it's kind of wild.
Really wild. And I don't know when it happened.
I don't know. It was slow. I think one of the moments that I think really people responded to was at Whitney's jewelry party with the sound bath when Lisa and Monica were fighting and Angie was stuck in the middle in that in the blue Mugler bodysuit, which we need to ban from Housewives. Wendy in the...
the same one, yeah.
But like when she's like, actually, Monica, that's really offensive because I'm older than Lisa. And also I'm trying to enjoy the sound bowl. Like it was when
was a good moment.
It was when she kind of seemed like she was just as like in the thick of it as the rest of them. Because I think coming in, like Salt Lake has had trouble casting women who really feel like they gel with that group. And like I honestly believe that Angie, she like it feels like she belongs there just as much as the rest of them.
Totally. And it's, there are a lot of parallels between Salt Lake and Potomac now that we're talking about it. And I don't know, maybe I think it is kind of maybe a casting thing. I don't know. It's like sometimes in these more suburban places, it's like, like Jersey, there was a couple of years where they had trouble casting. Now they're on a roll. But
right.
Like,
until Rachel and Danielle and Jen Fessler last season, they had a few years where there were just kind of false starts.
Yeah. Totally. And so I think that there's something to be said about sort of the actual location impacting some of these actual dynamics. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for Potomac. I hope we don't have to say goodbye to too many of the OGs. Like maybe it's like we say goodbye to some people and then the production company just has like really hard conversations with some of them being like, it's you either engage with each other or you're out. You know what I mean?
I am a fan of sometimes like taking off the reality hat and putting on the like, you know, conductor hat and being like, look, this was tough to watch. And Giselle, you are an important part of this cast and we would like to keep you around, but like you're going to have to speak to Candace.
You're not the show.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Like the Jax Taylor sit down where it's like, it's not your show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sort of like, there's just so many stalemates. It's crazy. Like in last night's episode, it was Candace and Robin and like kind of mutually, Candace was like, I'm not talking about that. Robin was like, okay, I'm getting out from the table. And it's just,
oh my God,
Robin's like,
storming off from the table like 2 different times on the Austin trip. It's like, we get it.
I know, we get it. And then she FaceTimes Juan and like Candace still has trouble owning up for like her reckless words online. And
yeah,
it goes both ways, but like.
Well, it's tough also because as much as I'm not on board with how Robin has handled things, I also don't really want to listen to Juan yelling at her on the phone.
Definitely not.
For like,
oh my God,
having a feeling.
Please. I mean, he has really...
So Robin, why are you making it difficult?
Robin had the opportunity this season to have kind of a great season. Yeah. She had the storyline. She had the thing people wanted to hear about. And I think that she, at the beginning, was kind of game to to have those conversations, but Juan kind of set her up to fail.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing because, I mean, we've seen him talk to her over the years in disappointing ways, but like this year especially, it's like, Jesus, like that phone call that they had when she was in her hotel room in Austin. And it just, again, he doesn't think of this as like she's bringing in a lot of money for their household. And right. You know, she's in her eighth season of Housewives. She's making some good money. Mm-hmm. And this could have been locking her down for a couple more seasons if they had really engaged in this. But right. he like can't recognize that for some reason.
Right. Like seeing the way that, you know, some husbands are able to sort of like grin and bear it exactly. a little bit when it benefits the storyline on the show. I feel like with most couples that have been on the show for a long time, we've seen some degree of that, whether it's like Tamra and Eddie mm-hmm. or Melissa and Joe, kind of like, even if it feels a little performative, that it's like, oh, well, you know, of course I don't think you were cheating right. on me. It's like,
at least they're not shutting it down.
Right. And it feels like seeing them have the conversation, even if it's a little bit like stunted, like when Angie K brought up the rumor about Sean hooking up with men.
Right.
And it was like extremely clear that this was not
the first time,
conversation right. had been had.
Not the greatest actors in like, the world.
Oh, what do you mean? They're
but we still got the conversation.
I'd
right?
be lost without Sean right, and Elektra.
Right. Lost. And yeah, it's unfortunately for Robin, put herself in this position of like potentially being the star of the season and having it all be all about her mm-hmm. to a point where it seems like her job is kind of on the, like it could go either way for her. Right,
but then it's like, does she even care?
I mean, I don't know. You're making six figures on a Housewives show. Like, do you want to like not have that coming into your house? I don't know. It's tough. It's like, I don't know. She had the deck of cards, like, you yeah. know what I mean? And I really think Juan did her dirty in totally. Multiple ways.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, yeah. I just want to get like a quick pulse check on Beverly Hills because it yeah. came back from it was off for a week over the holidays, came back last week. We got the Denise and Erica confrontation part two that felt like we had already seen it mm-hmm. on social media. Yeah. How are you feeling about this season? Just kind of like from a bird's eye view.
Yeah, it was a weird last episode, I thought, yes. because we got like a really long lunch between Garcelle and Dorit that was really off and awkward and like yes. from both sides, honestly. But generally, I'm appreciating that this season is not what we expected it to be in terms of like what I thought it was going to be all about Kyle and Mauricio mm-hmm. and, you know, we weren't sure what else we were going to get. And we are getting some like moments, but none of them are sort of like sustaining themselves. It's sort of like yeah. we had like a Kyle and Sutton thing that will probably continue here and there, but it's not like the central thing of the season. It was Erica and Denise for an episode or two. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, we're kind of getting like grab bag of things.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if it will all come together in the second mm-hmm. half of this season. I don't dislike it. It's just not what I expected. And it's a little unusual.
Grab bag is a great way of putting it. I was thinking, it feels like they are trying a lot of different things, which I can and do appreciate,
yes.
but that there isn't a lot of the quality threshold is not that high, that there's
right.
It doesn't feel like they had a lot of great stuff to pull from. So they're kind of giving us everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, seeing that conversation between Kyle and Kim, I thought was amazing mm-hmm. and something that we have wanted for such a long time. Seeing 3, 4, 5 scenes of Sutton on her dating journey.
We don't need that.
Unnecessary. And yeah. I it does feel like if they had better stuff this season, they would have used that instead. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like they're a little bit like getting to the bottom of the grab bag.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And I, you know, Beverly Hills is historically been kind of like at least in recent years, past like 4 or 5 years, it's been like a single issue.
That's so true.
It's been a single issue show, right? It's like every season is like about something.
It's about Erica. It's Aspen, about Denise.
Erica.
It's about, yeah.
Yeah. It's about Denise and Brandy. It's about Puppygate. It's about it's a one issue thing almost every year.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why it feels so.
That's a good point.
That it
almost feels like there's too many different storylines happening, which
right.
it feels like that's not something we would complain about on almost any other show. But with Beverly Hills, it feels like we're used to kind of having a little bit more of like an arc.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, the obvious answer for that this season would have been Kyle and Mauricio and Morgan.
Yeah.
And I just wonder why it's not that, you know?
Yeah, I do think, so the official when they announced their separation was at the end of filming. Yeah. Or I think
well, they
after
picked
the
cameras
end of,
back up, right?
After the end of filming. So it's almost like...
It can't
like,
all be about that.
Right. Like I'm thinking like, okay, so do we get a whole episode at the end of the season that's that? Or is that 5 minutes at the end of the finale?
I know.
And if the latter is the case, then do they acknowledge that they're separated prior to that on the show? Because, you know, they announced they were separated over the summer, but like they weren't saying like we separated yesterday.
Right. And it's also still been this sort of weird thing since then, in the past 6 or 7 months since then, right, of like, you know, there have been little things here and there that feel like updates, but ultimately we're kind of stagnant. We're still separated, but not getting divorced.
This episode when Kim was like, I assume you're not bringing Mauricio to this wedding. It's like, why do you assume that?
Why do you assume that? Exactly. And yeah, and I actually think that like in some ways, Sutton kind of dropped the ball at that dinner party in terms of like when she was questioning her about it, because she, and I understand why, because it's a really tough thing to ask about in like a respectful way, especially with like the Morgan of it all kind of folded in, and like, but she couldn't be specific enough. And right, she was very vague when she was like, what's going on with your marriage? What's going on with your marriage? Is there something you want to tell us? And Garcelle had to step in and be like, it's the ring. And like, that's actually kind of besides, I mean, that was an element of it, but like that was sort of, there are other sort of more pertinent questions going on
because
than
then
like
it
the
became,
ring.
Then it became a whole thing about the ring.
Exactly. And that was the wrong
issue.
Who's
buying my jewelry? And it's like, nobody gives a fuck who's buying
your
jewelry.
Exactly. And that's not what we're talking about. Yeah. Right. So that to me was like sort of a moment of an inflection point of like, we tried to get it to be about Kyle Mauricio, but it was kind of like a, you know, she had her answer for that question about the ring and like, where else do we go from there?
I wonder if Sutton is a little bit reticent to be kind of like the Nancy Drew of the group after going through that with Erica for so long, because I do think as much as that is kind of a big part of why Sutton became such a big player on the show, I think she really likes that she and Erica are mostly good now.
Because I think she's really intimidated by her.
Right. And like, aside from the Vegas elevator
stunt
that Erica pulled, it does feel like Sutton likes being on good terms with Erica and that she thinks they are like fun friends.
I think Garcelle does too.
Yeah.
That little girls' night they had was really fun to watch, genuinely.
That was fun.
I loved that dynamic.
And like, I feel like Sutton maybe sees the writing on the wall a little bit of how Kyle is like the star of the show in a lot of ways, and that she's like, yeah, I don't want to do that for a whole nother season.
Right. And ultimately I do think that there's an element of their off-camera relationship that we never have really gotten to see. Like, I think that there's a reason why they fight like sisters, because they go from being really close to like fighting at each other's throats. And you know, I think that she's I think in Kyle's mind she kind of did cross a line this year, but I think Sutton regrets crossing that line probably in some ways, because it's a genuine friendship of hers that she probably wants to protect to some capacity.
She just loves her some Kyle.
That was a good impression. I like that impression.
Thank you so much, Gibson. This has been such a pleasure.
So fun.
Thank you for being
always
here.
Always so fun.
Tell everyone where they can follow you and listen to your show.
So I have a podcast, Gabbing with Gib, interviews on Tuesdays and sort of Bravo or pop culture discussions on Fridays. Dylan's been on. When he was on, we did a biggest winners and losers of the year last month. But yeah,
that feels like it was.
Doesn't
six
that feel
months
so long ago? I know, truly. December is a 6 month month, you know. So Gabbing with Gib Tuesdays and Fridays, and you can follow me at Gibsonoma, GIBSONOMA, on all social platforms.
Amazing. Thanks, Gibson.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.